Good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and I'm here with you every Wednesday, noon to 1, on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thank you for tuning in and making us a priority. Hey, knock it off back there. Oh, the girls were wanting to know where you were at bingo the other night, Mark. But anyway, please tune in to www.kkfi.org, and you can listen to us streaming live audio from our website. Oops. We have just some really terrific guests, as we always do each week here on Art Speak Radio. We've got Erin She's the director of the curatorial affairs at the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art. And we also have, Jessica Thomas-Lee, who is the museum educator for the youth and family programs. We've got some terrific information to share with us here on air. And in our second half hour, I've got Audrey Luna with the Cherry Pit Collective. She's going to talk about that wonderful space here in the Crossroads in Kansas City, Missouri, and the availability of some studio space. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. So let's get started. If I can say your name right again, Erin Judgetts, Director of Curatorial Affairs at the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art. She's going to talk about the award of $50,000, a grant from the Andy Warhol Foundation for the visual arts in support of magnetic fields, expanding American abstraction, 1960s to today. This upcoming exhibition is scheduled to open at the Kemper Museum June 8th, and it runs through September 17th of this year. And there may be opportunities for it to travel beyond that, but let me tell you a little bit about the exhibition. It is it marks magnetic fields marks the first U.S. presentation dedicated exclusively to the formal and historical dialogue of abstraction by women artists of color. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you.
And congratulations. Yeah, congratulations on the $50,000 grant. I guess we're going to be going
Thank
to lunch.
Thank you. I would love to take everybody to lunch. It is something to celebrate. We have a great team, and we are so pleased and proud to be able to say that we have a Warhol for this show.
Absolutely. And, you know, for our listeners, the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art, the main building is at 4420 Warwick, opened from 10 a.m. to 4 o'clock on Tuesdays through Wednesdays. But you also have some other locations, too. Kemper at the Crossroads at 33 West 19th Street, and, of course, Kemper East, which is 200 East 44th Street. Mm-hmm. But this exhibition, Magnetic Fields, Expanding American Abstraction, 1960s to Today, that will be in the main...
It will be at the 4420 Warwick location.
Okay. So, and again, as I said, congratulations, not only for the Kemper, but for you, because this was co-curated by yourself and Melissa Messina,
yes,
who's an independent curator and curator of the Mildred Thompson Estate, mm-hmm, in Atlanta, Georgia. So tell us what we're going to see. Tell us what the exhibition is about.
Well, the exhibition is looking at abstraction by women artists of color. There's 21 artists in this, included in an exhibition, over 40 works. Some of the artists have a couple of works that we've included in the show. And it's really a wonderful opportunity to see an intergenerational cross-section of artists who were born. The oldest artist in the exhibition, Alma Thomas, was born in 1891.
Wow.
And the youngest artist, Abigail DeVille, was born in 1981. So we're really, mm-hmm, looking at almost 100 years of artists and work from the 1960s to today. 1960s being a time period where abstraction was coming out of this sort of stable of abstract expressionism and moving into other realms, and so we really wanted to give an opportunity to showcase some works that really have never been seen before.
I love this because it also introduces the work of 21 exceptional artists in conversation with, mm-hmm, one another for the first time, also by highlighting each of the artist individuals' approach to form and color and composition. That's got to be very exciting, side by side, and you know, in a group show together of sorts. That's very important.
It's
yeah.
very important. I mean, we've come off of about a year and a half of research and travel, and so we've seen these works in their home location so far, and our, you know, the past several months we've been putting them together in the same space and seeing what's coming of that, because we've had a lot of conversations about the stylistic connections between artists of different generations. Like Mavis Tiefe was one of the very few artists that we came across who was working in geometric abstraction, and she has such great continuity in conversation with Jenny C. Jones, who has a studio in Brooklyn and is working today and incorporates sound elements into her work. So those kind of discoveries, both for the artists and for us, have been very exciting.
So this exhibition will showcase a diverse range of unique visual vocabularies. You'll see paintings and sculpture, printmaking, drawings, and sound.
There won't be any sound. No. But Jenny's work is probably as many artists in the exhibition too evoke the idea of sound in their work. She uses a lot of sound absorption panels as part of her material. A lot of artists also garner their influence through jazz music and expression. So.
That's beautiful. Will there be a catalog that will accompany this body
of
work?
Yes, we're working on a full color catalog right now, actually.
Beautiful. So this has been going on, the research has been going on for well over a year.
Mm-hmm.
When was this idea planted? What was the beginning dialogue for this?
Well, Melissa and I have worked together in the past. We used to live in the same city. We used to live in Savannah, Georgia together. And we worked with a collection that had works by Alma Thomas. And so we've been familiar with her work for a number of years. And Melissa was one of Mildred Thompson's students. Mildred Thompson is one of the artists in the exhibition. She unfortunately passed away in 2003, but has a prolific body of work that is so substantial and so exciting, and Melissa has really been digging deep into that collection and into the estate. And her and I have also been talking about our love of abstraction for a number of years. And then after coming to the Kemper Museum, and really digging into the core of the museum's collection, which is this wonderful group of abstract expressionist work, I was so excited to kind of try to pull out threads from what was going on there and to really expand upon it through an exhibition.
Well, and I did want to mention that last month the exhibition received news of an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, right?
Yes.
So congratulations to you on that. I mean, this is huge.
Yes. Yes, we're very excited. It gives us an opportunity to move forward with catalog, with doing some really dynamic programming in conjunction with the show. We have an advisory group that we developed for the exhibition of scholars and curators and just really prolific thinkers whose life's work has been ingrained in American abstraction. And we asked them to basically have conversations with us and to give us some feedback on some of the things that we were writing, some of the artists that we were looking at. And so we hope that they can also participate in our programming going forward, too.
Now, will this exhibition fill the entire museum, or will it be just in the main space?
It will be in the Charlotte Crosby Kemper Gallery, so it's our largest gallery space in the museum.
Wow, this is terrific. If you're just now tuning in online at kkfi.org or 90.1 FM on your radio, I'm talking to Erin Jedgetts, Director of Curatorial Affairs at the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art. We're talking about the $50,000 grant from the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts in support of Magnetic Fields, Expanding American Abstraction, 1960s to today. And that, we're really looking forward to this. It's going to open June 8th and run through September 17th. And I want to mention to our listeners that this was organized by the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art, but co-curated by yourself and Melissa Messina, mm-hmm. who is an independent curator. So this is going to be a fabulous exhibition for the Kemper and for the community.
Absolutely.
Because this is, how many women again are
21.
Going? Yeah, yeah.
21 of the many hundreds of artists that we could have included. It was really a exciting and difficult situation to whittle it down, you know. I think one of the greatest things about having to do that is you really have to hone in on the theme of the show, which is
yeah.
really non-objective abstraction. So that's what we're focusing on.
So we're really excited because the works will range anywhere from painting and sculpture and printmaking and drawing and that sort of thing, but to have the work of these women all together in one room, I mean, that's really just going to be so exciting for us, you know.
It's going to reveal some really wonderful transitions and connections between their works. I think that's something that we really focused on in the selection of works that we made, really focusing on how artists, different styles, are able to converse with each other and to really bring about what we hope, further scholarship and further discussion mm-hmm. and more exhibitions.
And again, this range of work also features early and later career women in the field of the arts, and some are exhibited for the first time. I love that.
So works that the artists themselves have had really wonderful individual careers too. But yeah, absolutely.
And that is going to be at the, where's my other sheet? That's going to be at the Kemper Museum of Art, and that is located someplace on my desk. Here we are, 4420 Warwick, Kansas City, Missouri, and that's, they're open 10 to 4 o'clock Tuesday through Wednesday, and then other days of the week, they're open a little bit later, 10 to 9 p.m. on Thursday through Friday, and so on, 10 in the morning till 4 on Saturday and Sunday. For more information, the website is kemperart.org. And will any of the other smaller spaces, you have Kemper at the Crossroads and Kemper East, will they maybe have women's work in relation to this one, the main exhibition?
We might. I'm still developing some of the exhibitions for those spaces, but I'm glad that you brought that up because that's something that I've been actively doing with our spaces at the museum, is really engaging how our permanent collection exhibitions connect with the temporary and special exhibitions that we're bringing in as well. So that's important to me. You'll notice some of that transition happening now. We just moved out a large number of works in our atrium. So right when you enter the museum space, you'll see a lot of really big, bold, abstract work.
I love the museum. I love the Kemper. I remember before it became the Kemper, it was the Conservatory of Music. There was a building there through UMKC. So it was really wonderful to have the Kemper there in its place. And I do want to mention the Kemper at the Crossroads is located at 33 West 19th Street. If you're not familiar with that, it's got the really terrific storefront windows.
It does.
Also, there's Kemper East at 200 East 44th Street. And, you know, for all those hours, information and upcoming events and that sort of thing, they would just all go... that would be, they could get information from the KemperArt.org website?
Everything can be found at the website, including upcoming exhibitions. We have a Receive Johnson exhibition coming up called Hail We Now Sing Joy. We have information about all of our free programming, information about our hours and locations of the museum and the and Cafe Sebastian. And so, it's all there. Also, information on how to download our app, which is an expanded, information about our exhibitions through audio and visual self-guided tours. It's a great resource for us.
Beautiful. And that actually kind of segues into Jessica Thomas-Lee, who is the museum educator for youth and family programs. And you have some information about upcoming events and classes and just information, because talking to someone earlier about, you know, the youth and family programs at the Kemper, someone told me I didn't realize that they had classes for adults and children. So tell us more.
Yeah, actually a lot of people don't realize that we have classes and workshops for adults and kids. And something else I want to mention is all of these are free. That's really important. We want to take away any barrier between the museum and the community. And again, all that information can be found on our website.
And she can say free because they are not for profit. So sticking to the FCC guidelines.
But yeah, so Aaron mentioned our upcoming exhibition, Rushy Johnson, Hail Me Now, Sing Joy. And so we have a lot of programming in conjunction with that specific exhibition. Something we try to do at the Kemper is we try to create experiences, we try to create classes and workshops that make a strong connection to our exhibitions. So we have a lot of ongoing programs. We have something called Top Ten Tuesday, Fine Art Friday, Scavenger Saturday. Those will be making connections to different works of art and exhibitions in the museum, but then also a lot to the exhibition that's going to be in the main gallery, so the Rusty Johnson one that is coming up. And then we have some other ones, too, that are specifically for Rusty Johnson, Hail Me Now, Sing Joy. So one, we are going to be having a spring break, so like a Camp Kemper spring break. And we are going to be challenging campers to create art based on themes of culture, identity, and social justice. And again, making that small, that connection to the exhibition, to Rashid's work. We also have something we also like to do, and Aaron and I have talked about this a lot, is bringing in local artists and local musicians. So that is a way to create a more engaging experience for the viewer to the specific exhibition, but then it's also a way to bring in local artists and so they can express themselves as well. So for example, we have a local jazz musician coming in. Her name is Lisa Henry. So that's going to be on April 22nd. So she's going to be doing this kind of all ages intergenerational event at the Kemper. And Ashley Hand and I got to go actually see her at the Blue Room, which was amazing, and kind of see her sing and see her interact with the audience, and she's amazing. Like I'm kind of imagining her coming into the museum, and she's kind of becoming this work of art that kind of brings the museum alive. It's going to be amazing. And again, it's going to be an all ages show. So she is able to connect with kids, but she's also able to connect with adults as well, which I think will be really interesting.
Now, I just have a couple of questions, and one is for the classes and or performances that you have at the Kemper, is it important for folks to give you a call and reserve a space ahead of time? Do you need to know that?
That's a good question. Some of our workshops, we definitely need that, and that'll say on the website, it'll say whether you need to do that or not. For ones like Tots on Tuesday, Fine Art Friday, Scavenger Saturday, that's just drop-in. Things like Camp Kemper, we have a workshop coming up too in May in conjunction with the Rusty Johnson Hail Me Now, Sing Joy exhibition, and that's going to be a floral sculptures workshop, and that's in another intergenerational program. So that's something that people will definitely need to go to the website and find out how to reserve, and it's simple. You just send an email, and the email will come to me. And yeah.
And as far as supplies and that, is that all taken care of by the...
It's all taken care of, yeah. So we are very fortunate to receive money from specific donors to be able to provide all supplies for everyone that takes a class or a workshop at the Kemper. So
that's beautiful. Well, if you are just now tuning in, I'm talking to Jessica Thompson-Lee, Museum Educator of Youth and Family Programs. She's talking about the wonderful classes and performances at the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art at 4420 Warwick Boulevard. For more information, the website is kemperart.org, and the phone number is 816-457-6132. Now, Jessica, for the summer, do you have a longer sort of summer camp, art camp for for children?
Yes, we do. So I'm not 100% sure how long it's going to be, but I know last year it was 5 weeks long, but each week will be a different group of kids. And again, actually that one will probably be in conjunction with Magnetic Fields, since that's the exhibition, the main exhibition that's going to be going on at that time. So.
Yeah, that was something I wanted to ask, were there going to be some sort of art classes or workshops based on that magnetic field expanding American abstraction?
Yes, most definitely, yeah. We do everything we can to create that strong connection and engagement between the participants of any classes and workshops and the exhibitions. So.
Now, are the classes just at the main building, the Kemper Museum of Art, at 4400 Warwick or 4420 Warwick? Are they at other locations, your other locations?
That is a good question. The majority of them are at the 4420 location. We actually have one program that is at our Kemper at the Crossroads location. That is one that's actually starting today. It's our, of right now, we only have one teen program. It's called No Boundaries. It's an 8-week long program, and we have 24 students that have been accepted. You have to be between the ages of 13 and 15, and they will come once a week to Kemper at the Crossroads for 2 hours every Wednesday, and they get to work with three amazing local artists and to create some great projects, and that will be all exhibited at the end for April 1st Friday. So that is at Kemper at the Crossroads. That's the only one right now. I will say we are going to be doing everything we can in 2017 to increase our teen programming. We are planning on forming some more partnerships within the community. That's something else that's really important to both Aaron and I for the adult and youth education programs. We've been working with the library, the Kansas City Public Library, to try to work with them to create some experiences in the community for youth and adults as well. We have other partnerships too.
I think one of the things that we've been really excited about and really kind of doing more of is community partnerships, and I think Rashid's exhibition really lends itself to that. One of the things I wanted to mention too is that Hail We Now Sing Joy is the reason why we're talking about so much jazz music.
Uh-huh.
Is that Hail We Now Sing Joy is a track from the 2003 album called The Meeting from the Art Ensemble of Chicago. Rashid is from Chicago. He lives and works in New York now, but the Art Ensemble of Chicago is an album and a group that he's listened to for a number of years. Mm-hmm. So that really got us thinking about what kind of connections that we could make. So I've had some really wonderful conversations with the Jazz Museum. They are actually going to be our venue for Rashid Johnson's artist talk on February 10th.
That's beautiful. That's a great connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I think it's only helpful for us to kind of, be able to broaden our reach in the community, and Rashid's work is so connected to jazz and to music, and so we really wanted to touch upon that special connection we have here in KC. He will also, the Jazz Museum is also curating a series of jazz performances at the Kemper Museum, which will happen over the course of the programming for that show in March. And then we have opportunities for artists as well to come and actually engage with one of Rashid's pieces. It's called Antoine's Organ. And we're setting up a schedule of performances with local artists or artists who are coming through town who might be interested in engaging with that piece.
And if folks are listening are interested in finding out more about that or contacting you, contact information do you have for?
You can call the main gallery or the main museum's line at 816-753-5784. And you can also just email me directly at edvie@kemperart.org. I know that's kind of like a lot, but if you want to call and get my email, that's fine too. Just mention that you're interested in perhaps signing up or getting more information about opportunity to volunteer to come and give a performance at the museum.
Well, and that information I have posted not only on the KKFI website, but on our Facebook page. I did give out an earlier phone number. Disregard that because that was directly to Kent Michael Smith, who may not appreciate that.
He's our director of marketing.
Yeah. It's like, he can't do nothing for you.
Yeah, he will definitely make sure that you get to the right person.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Erin Gidgets. I'll get that right, director.
It's totally fine. I just didn't bother.
Well, you know, and congratulations again. This is huge, and you know, we're so happy and excited, and look forward to Magnetic Fields expanding American abstraction 1960s to today, opening June 8th. And thank you, Jessica Thompson Lee, for coming in and talking to us about classes for adults and for children. And please come back soon. Yes?
Thank you so much. See you on the 9th of February.
You bet.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd on ArtSpeak Radio, 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Next up, I have Adri Luna, who is a member of the Cherry Pit Collective. She's also a fine artist. We're going to talk to her about the Cherry Pit Collective, which is a communal studio space for artists, makers, and creatives in the heart of Kansas City, Missouri. Also, we're going to have Bill Sundahl in the last 10 minutes of the show, who's going to talk about our upcoming pledge drive, so stay tuned for that. So I want to introduce Adri Luna. Welcome.
Thank you.
Terrific. You know, it's been a while since we actually met in person, or saw each other in person, but I'm very excited for you to talk about this Cherry Pit Collective. That is at 604 East 31st Terrace, East 31st in Kansas City, Missouri. So it's a space for artists and makers and creatives, right?
Correct.
And so what prompted you to find this collective? I mean, pull this collective together of creative people?
Well, I am close friends with the director of the Cherry Pit Collective, and she's been looking for a studio space to make her paper.
Uh-huh.
There's very specific requirements that most studio spaces don't allow, or not allow, but have.
Yeah.
So she was looking for a space, and she got teamed up with the gentleman over at Maker Village. They've been rehabbing this old building. It's an amazing old building.
Yeah.
It's next to Oddity Prints, Two Tone Press.
Okay.
There's a lot of things going on in that area.
Uh-huh.
And so they rehabbed this amazing space and decided to create a space for artists. And so Kelsey Pike stepped in, and she is the owner of Sustainable Paper Craft. So she has her studio there, and then we teamed up and, you know, started looking for other makers, and that's how it started.
It sounds amazing because as you're talking, I'm going through this list. We've got director Kelsey Pike of Sustainable Paper and Craft, Sarah Fru, yes, Wild Wash Soap Company, of course, herself as a fine artist, Tara Tomzer, Lost and Found Design, Tara Rose Anderson, Whiskey and Bone, is that also a design or is that a
jewelry?
Jewelry, okay. Danica Lyons, who's a seamstress, sewist?
Sewist, yeah.
Elizabeth Badley, who's an illustrator, and Brian Cush-Juarez, a ceramicist. All there in the space, right?
Correct.
Terrific. So paper makers, painters, jewelers, illustrators, all of that, small business owners working as entrepreneurs or freelancers. So I love, you know, I went to the website and really love the space. It's light, it's airy, got lots of beautiful natural light. CherryPitCollective.com is the website. You know, what I also read about studio space, that there's studio space available, which is really, I think, kind of sometimes tough to find in the city, really, you know, good, affordable studio space.
Yes, and finding one that has everything that you want is even harder.
Yeah.
I found a lot of studio spaces available in basements, but as a painter, I need a lot of light, so finding the right place is hard.
It's so important. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Adri Luna, who's a member of the Cherry Pit Collective. She's associate director of the Cherry Pit Collective and a fine artist herself. So once you found this space, was it just already, oh man, this is light and the space that I need to really bring to life my art? A good working studio for you?
Yes, and part of that was it's a brand new studio. We've only been around for a few months.
Uh-huh.
So we did a Kickstarter and had the community.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people came together to donate stuff, so it was all local. And that helped us raise the money to get the stuff we need, like a deep sink for uh-huh. a couple of artists who require this. We can handle kilns in the space.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There's a working kiln in the space itself? Or
in the basement.
Wow.
So, a lot of variety, and it's all been created specifically to help people, and, you know, we have movable walls, so if someone needs a space that's really big, we can accommodate a variety of people.
Yeah, and with the holidays over, you did have some pop-up sort of holiday markets, right, and within that space?
Yes.
Yeah, so
we actually created a front space for it, which our walls allow us to do. So
uh-huh.
we hosted a lot of local makers,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the mission statement, is bringing people together, and you don't have to have a studio space there to collaborate and work with a bunch of makers who are excited to
yeah.
be making and creating with other people in the community.
Now, as we talked about the studio space itself, do you have any available spaces that are open for artists and creative people?
Yes.
But you didn't mention that before.
Right. We're currently looking to fill a couple of spaces. We're always looking to find cool people to work with,
uh-huh.
and you know, I feel like people always need a space in Kansas
yeah.
City.
Now, is there a process if someone's interested in finding out more about the studio space or perhaps applying for a studio space? Is there sort of a criteria that you go by when you select folks for the space?
Yes. There is more information available at our website.
I read my agreement.
Very in-depth information, but we're basically looking to make sure that we can handle their requests. So
mm-hmm.
if you're welding giant cars together, we probably can't
yeah.
work it out.
Yeah.
And, just personalities. Because the broader the mix, the more insight you get when you're developing your product or working on your practice.
Uh-huh.
I like to talk to non-artists and see what they see. So, you know, we want to mix in there.
Yeah, that's good. Now, is there other than for the holiday pop-up market and that, is there ever a time when you all sort of come together and have maybe like a show and tell or a pachakata of some sorts or invite the community in?
Yes. Actually, we have a lot of events. Meet and Make is an event where you can bring projects, and that's a little more relaxed where you can
mm-hmm.
have a drink and work on a project and just talk to other creatives. We've had networking events where you just come and bring your card, introduce yourself, and we kind of facilitate it so it's like, you own a store, she has a lot of products,
mm-hmm.
maybe you
mm-hmm.
guys should talk.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. We don't do pachakatas, which I would like. But
Or maybe somewhat of a critique or sort of brainstorming sessions and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is that...
Actually, one of my favorite events is Meet Opinions Night, where you bring a product or... like, the last one we had was packaging issues, and a group of people sat down, like, have you thought of this? What about
mm-hmm.
this? I can't
mm-hmm.
see this when it's in a box.
Mm-hmm.
It should be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get so much feedback about something that you're trying to get in the store, that information is priceless, especially coming from makers who are in stores.
Now, do you have certain times or dates specific for these sort of, you know, if you have this sort of packaging, you know, concern or problem, you know, we're going to discuss like the third Thursday of the month and that sort of thing. I mean, do you have some sort of a calendar where you have specific dates set aside for that sort of thing?
Yes, we do. And because we're still fairly new, we're
yeah.
beta testing,
uh-huh.
you know, the best dates and stuff. Usually it's in the evening because a lot of
sure.
makers, you know, dedicate their daytime to their practice or have another job. So later in the evening, 7 to 9, and on the weekends, we have special, like usually Thursdays,
uh-huh.
our different event nights.
And then is there the building, is it accessible 24 hours, or is it just a certain set of hours that...
For the artist,
uh-huh, for the artist.
And makers,
mm-hmm.
it is 24 hours, which I love. You can get up, and most people don't want to get up at 6 and go create, but it's like during the ice storm, just lock yourself in there.
Wow, fine. No kidding, right?
Well, in case the ice storm was a little more intense than it was.
Yeah. So the contact information I have is cherrypickcollective.com. Is there a phone number or a Facebook page or something that people can get a hold of you at?
Yes, we do have a Facebook page, which is probably the best. And you can also email us at cherrypickcollective@gmail.com, because I love Gmail. And I will respond to you. If you know any of the makers, they're all linked through Facebook and on the website, so you can hit them up and the messages will get to who they need to.
Now, the group of people that are associated with Cherry Pick Collective, are they all like art school friends or just people that they kind of known in the community for a little bit? Or is there sort of a relationship between all these
There are, individuals? And... no, just a couple of us have gone to the Artist Institute.
Artist Inc., maybe?
Artist Inc., yes.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a lot of, you know, I'm working here, I think this is great, maybe you should consider it. You know, friends bring in friends, and when it's a good fit, it works. So, you know, we just, it's not word of mouth, but it has been word
yeah.
of mouth. So.
Yeah, I get that. Do you have any upcoming events that you want to share with our listeners? Any sort of open house or anything that you can you want to talk about?
Well, we would love people to drop by. We keep the door locked just for the uh-huh. safety. But if during events, it's always open. We welcome people to come in. Let's see.
What about First Fridays? Are you available First Fridays, or do you just... Because you're right there in the middle of the crossroads, right?
Actually, we're in Midtown and, like, right next to Longfellow. So
I knew that.
That's okay. the crossroads is heading back this way. We actually usually, most people are doing events at First Friday.
Okay.
So we don't stay open, although I have been working there because I have deadlines and stuff to meet. So that's the interesting thing about combining artists with makers is there's always a deadline and it's not always based around First Friday. So
and on the website is there a sampling of some of the makers and the artists that are there, like their work or contact information?
Yes, a little bio
website for them.
Can click on their picture.
yeah No, that's exciting. I love finding out about, you know, this studio space for artists, makers, and creatives in the heart of Kansas City, Missouri. That's at 604 East 31st Street. It's not in the crossroads. Maria. But it is here in Kansas City, Missouri. And, again, looking for studio space, you can reach out through their website, cherrypickcollective.com. They have paper makers, painters, jewelers, illustrators, and small business owners all there working together as entrepreneurs or freelancers.
Yes, and we actually have some classes coming up specifically based around makers. There's an etsy class coming up. It's 6 weeks long, and again, geared towards a person who has a day job or a part-time job.
And how would someone get in contact with you? Just through the website? Or
through the website. Okay. We have a calendar of events page. It's a very simple website.
Okay.
So you get a choice. You're either applying for a studio or looking at our calendar. And our social media, we post events, before events, and pictures of the events if you're curious. Like the networking event, so many people showed up that we have little cropped pictures.
Wow. So you've got this class coming up, the Etsy class, and others for the spring?
Yes. The big one we're super excited about is the Etsy class, because so many people there are currently selling and know all the struggles of it. And sometimes just to get started, you need someone to say, like, you should do this. You should have a logo. Like, you're going to walk away from the class with your Etsy shop ready to go.
Beautiful.
And, a lot of meet-make events. So come, bring a project, meet some people, laugh.
And we want to... tell if you would want to share your website with our listeners as a fine artist painter.
I would love to. It's adrieluna.com, Abriluna. The nice thing is if you misspell it, it still comes up.
So. Very good. Well, thank you, Adri, and please come back, and we'll check out the Cherry Pit Collective soon.
I would love that. Thank you for having me.
You bet. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. And we're back. This is ArtSpeak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and guess who I had to track down just now? That rascally rascal, Bill Sundahl, our special events coordinator.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Bill, tell us what's coming up.
What is coming up on the 27th is our winter pledge drive, everybody. So, excuse me. So what we're doing is, you know, our sort of traditional pledge drive is going to start on Friday the 27th and go until the 9th of February. And so what we're hoping that we can do is keep it a little shorter by encouraging folks to go online and make donations. You can start right now. The page is up with all of our thank you gifts. And so just go to kkfi.org and find the donate button and avail yourselves of the ability to donate to keep this great radio station right here where you're listening right now.
Well, and I think a lot of times when folks consider a pledge drive, they think about the call and talking to a live human being. Well, most of us are live by the time our 18-hour shift ends. But also, the website is secure. So
without a doubt. Yeah. And it's an easy, a fairly quick way to go. And I mean, I'd say 5-7 minutes, you're all done, and you've done your duty, as it were, to keep KKFI on the air. I mean, I think as we move forward into the future, and as certain or uncertain as it's going to be, I think places like KKFI and community radio in general is going to be more and more important to finding an alternative view to what is going to be, you know, broadcast and other mediums. So
no.
I think that we're more important now than ever.
Absolutely.
Estimation.
You know, and one question that I have about when you pledge online, when people call in during certain programs, Wednesday, Midday, Manly, or ArtSpeak Radio, and pledge, do they have, is there a space for them to donate and
attribute
for that?
Just write in there what you want, anything you want to say to us. So I'd like a percentage of this to go to ArtSpeak, and
that's
I also love this show.
ArtSpeak. Well, you know, and that would be lovely.
And then also, people, I leave the most wonderful comments of, you know, why they're taking the time to donate, and we certainly appreciate that too. So,
you know, we really
take the time to say thank you, and we certainly appreciate it.
We really do, because you know, we keep our lights on this way, our utilities. You know, we pay for the space that we rent. You know,
nobody cares about that.
Well, I know.
What they care about is ArtSpeak Radio, about hearing from wonderful guests and learning about what's going on in the world. I mean, that's why I listen. I can't say, you know, some people probably do care very much about the light bill, but it just reminds me that I have bills. But what I really appreciate is the education that I get from KKFI on music and news and arts, and I really have learned about so many upcoming shows or organizations that are doing great work through your great work
and what you
do on this show. So.
But you know, people thank me for the program, and I'm really grateful for that. But I'm really grateful that we have this community of creative folks, whether it's musicians, painters, writers.
It's like Berlin in the 30s in Kansas City right now. really, like early 30s.
So, you know, for me, it makes my job easy because I just kind of reach out and, boop, you know, pull a group of people.
Sure.
But, you know, we do
but
need
you're
that
doing
support.
It. You're actually reaching out and letting those people say what they want to say.
That is part of our mission statement.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
To spread the word, give a megaphone to the voiceless is my
choice. Yeah. So we could really use your help online.
Yep.
KKFI.org
/donate, or just go find the donate button in the top right of the screen.
Or you can call us on the old-timey phone.
You can, but on the 27th.
Don't do it now.
You can call now, but it'll just ring at my desk, and I'll be happy to take a donation if you happen to be at my desk. So
the other
question. It's always there. That's my point.
Well, the other question, too, oftentimes we offer a premium gift such as a t-shirt or that.
Yeah, so if you go to kkfi.org/donate, you will see that we have designed a pretty sweet t-shirt. It's going to be like a kind of a, not navy blue, a little lighter than that. But it's got our brand new logo on a turntable, sort of spinning around in a circle. Looks pretty cool, if I do say. I'm pretty happy about it. I'm gonna wear one. I believe you. I love my t-shirt.
Also,
that, you know, so yeah. small to 4X, and then also we have my brain just sat down. The guest DJ. So
it's a beauty that
blinds you. Do guest DJs, and so basically you take over a 100,000-watt radio station for an hour. And
yeah,
I've done it myself personally and have had a ton of fun.
I think that's really exciting to think
is,
about
yeah.
that
so
you have that much
playlist,
power.
You decide, so
yeah.
the process is you first donate, then you get a hold of me. We'll mail you a certificate in the mail, and it has, says, hey, call Bill. But it lays out that you choose your playlist and list, you know, the artist, album title, et cetera. And then we line you up with a show. So a lot of people who do it know, you know what, I want to be on this show. And this is for our
yeah.
music program.
Well, I was just going to say, because this is, I'm coming up on my fifth year of Art Speak Radio.
Yay! Yay.
And no one so far has taken me on as a DJ.
Oh, I love you. Like one of our other hosts, guys, you could probably just go to one of our hosts. And be, I want to come on your show. So... So the guest DJ is always an option. And then you'll also see on there during the pledge drive itself, not to put you off until next Friday, but the KC Folk Fest has, we're going to have tickets to that event as well. And so that's on the website. It tells all about that. But we might even have some other special surprises. We're still trying to put together some other interesting things.
Well, and I think it's important for folks to really support this radio station. We've got all sorts of programs, public programming, music programs, you know, even up next at 1 o'clock, we've got Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz Afternoon, but it's going to be taken over by Mark Andrus, who's filling in for Jeff, who's, I think, in Cuba right now.
Is that where he's at?
I knew he was going to Cuba, but I could be wrong. But, you know, we have a such a diverse amount of programming here at the station, so kkfi.org is the website for you to find out more.
That's right. You can check out the program schedule and tune in.
And one more thing before you go, I want to talk about just a little bit about underwriting. So some of these companies or organizations that have money for X amount of underwriting, they
right,
should
so
contact
marketing,
you.
Marketing
yeah.
budgets.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to talk about that. Very happy to talk with anybody about that. So essentially, you're supporting KKFI, and then as a thank you, we will run a 30-second spot to tell our listeners about what it is you're doing. So it's spreading the word about an event that you're using as a fundraiser for your organization, or just a business that, you know, a lawn care company wants to let folks know what they do. And then as a non-commercial station, we have certain guidelines that we have to meet, and I can happily explain all that.
And there's a contact you here.
Yeah, definitely. The website, kkfi.org/underwriting, or just go to the website and look in the support column. And that's got all the information. It's got my information and Diana Ennis. And my phone number is 816-994-7869. Or you can just go dial the front desk and ask for Bill. And that one is 816-931-3122. Or you can call Maria's cell phone.
You're rotten to the bone, mister. But I love you anyway. Thank you, my friend Bill Sundahl.
Thank you. And don't forget, keep our pledge drive short by going online today and donating at kkfi.org.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend. And I also want to thank Aaron, Jessica Thomas Lee, Cherry Pit Collective, Adri Luna, who is here talking about that. Next week, January 25th, we'll have Amy Palatsian, Renee Adairy, Amy Kligman. They'll all join us. Stay tuned again at 1 o'clock for Jeff Harshbarger or Mark Andrus. I'm going to say thank you all so much for listening. Like us on Facebook, because we like you. And honey, I'm coming home.